I cannot get away with a philosophical evasion. It depends what you mean by true. Nor with an anthropological relativist plea. It is only in your Western scientific sense of in that I was in Chicago. The Bongolese have a completely different concept of in, according to which you are only truly in a place if you are an anointed elder entitled to take snuff from the dried scrotum of a goat. Maybe scientists are fundamentalist when it comes to defining in some abstract way what is meant by truth. But so is everybody else. I am no more fundamentalist when I say evolution is true than when I say it is true that New Zealand is in the Southern Hemisphere. We believe in evolution because the evidence supports it, and we would abandon it overnight if new evidence arose to disprove it. No real fundamentalist would ever say anything like that. It is all too easy to confuse fundamentalism with passion. I may well appear passionate when I defend evolution against a fundamentalist creationist, but this is not because of a rival fundamentalism of my own. It is because the evidence for evolution is overwhelmingly strong, and I am passionately distressed that my opponent can't see it, or more usually refuses to look at it, because it contradicts his holy book. My passion is increased when I think about how much the poor fundamentalists and those whom they influence, are missing. The truths of evolution, along with many other scientific truths, are so engrossingly fascinating and beautiful. How truly tragic to die having missed out on all that. Of course that makes me passionate. How could it not? But my belief in evolution is not fundamentalism, and it is not faith, because I know what it would take to change my mind, and I would gladly do so if the necessary evidence were forthcoming. It does happen. I have previously told the story of a respected elder statesman of the zoology department at Oxford when I was an undergraduate. For years he had passionately believed and taught that the Golgi apparatus, a microscopic feature of the interior of cells, was not real, an artifact, an illusion. Every Monday afternoon it was the custom for the whole department to listen to a research talk by a visiting lecturer. One Monday, the visitor was an American cell biologist who presented completely convincing evidence that the Golgi apparatus was real. At the end of the lecture, the old man strode to the front of the hall, shook the American by the hand and said, with passion, "My dear fellow, I wish to thank you. I have been wrong these 15 years. We clapped our hands red. No fundamentalist would ever say that. In practice, not all scientists would. But all scientists pay lip service to it as an ideal, unlike, say, politicians, who would probably condemn it as flip-flopping. The memory of the incident I've described still brings a lump to my throat. As a scientist, I am hostile to fundamentalist religion because it actively debauches the scientific enterprise. It teaches us not to change our minds and not to want to know exciting things that are available to be known. It subverts science and saps the intellect. The saddest example I know is that of the American geologist Kurt Wise, who now directs the Center for Origins Research at Bryan College, Dayton, Tennessee. It is no accident that Bryan College is named after William Jennings Bryan, prosecutor of the science teacher John Scopes in the Dayton monkey trial of 1925. Wise could have fulfilled his boyhood ambition to become a professor of geology at a real university, a university whose motto might have been, "Think critically," rather than the oxymoronic one displayed on the Bryan website, "Think critically and biblically." Indeed, he obtained a real degree in geology at the University of Chicago, followed by 2 higher degrees in geology and paleontology at Harvard, no less, where he studied under Stephen Jay Gould, no less. He was a highly qualified and genuinely promising young scientist, well on his way to achieving his dream of teaching science and doing research at a proper university. Then tragedy struck. It came not from outside, but from within his own mind, a mind fatally subverted and weakened by fundamentalist religious upbringing that required him to believe that the Earth, the subject of his Chicago and Harvard geological education, was less than 10,000 years old. He was too intelligent not to recognize the head-on collision between his religion and his science, and this conflict, in his mind, made him increasingly uneasy. One day, he could bear the strain no more, and he clinched the matter with a pair of scissors. He took a Bible and went right through it, literally cutting out every verse that would have to go if the scientific worldview were true. At the end of this ruthlessly honest and labour-intensive exercise, there was so little left of his Bible that,
try as I might, and even with the benefit of intact margins throughout the pages of Scripture,